Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're now joined here by Michael Bent. Michael, good morning. How you doing? Everything good?
I am doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
How was the red-eye flight from L.A., all right?
You know how it was, man.
That was a long flight. Were you able to get a little bit of rest or no?
No. Well, first of all, there was like a bunch of kids in the back row and, you know, screaming and carrying on. And there was a very attractive woman from Israel.
Okay.
Who I had my eyes on. Okay. I mean, no, not really. Well, yeah. We were kind of eyeing each other.
Nice.
You know, but, hey, listen.
There you go.
I'll explore that at some point.
Well, there you go. Very nice. Well, at least there's that opportunity here moving forward. How you doing, Michael? You good?
I'm doing fantastic, man.
Good. Well, thanks for coming in studio this morning. Tell us a little bit about... I mean, you know, it's a docuseries. You're part of it. Tell us a little bit about the venture and the series Loser and your involvement in it.
I was approached by a dear friend of mine named Bryn Butler, who's a writer from Toronto. And I was introduced to Bryn by Thomas Hauser.
Okay.
The prolific boxing writer.
Yep.
And so he connected us maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. And Bryn said, Mike, like... Last year, Bryn said, Mike, I got this thing I'm working on with guys from Netflix. They want to meet you. And they made that happen. And so we shot 3 days in L.A. and 2 days in Queens, New York, where I was, like, you know, raised. Cambria Heights and Flesher Meadow Park, where I started boxing. And Mickey Doozy, man, he's the truth. Yeah, he nails it. And the crew, of course, like, you know, the other...
When they first approached you in terms of your involvement, what they wanted, where they wanted to talk about your life and everything like that, was that something that you were open to doing?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, because, you know, I'm an actor. You know, so, like, you know, everyone wants to, like, you know, whether you're an actor or not, everyone wants a platform. Everyone wants to tell their story. And that was a chance to, like, you know, tell my story. You know, and an interesting thing was that we were in Queens shooting, and Mickey hadn't told me the title yet of the show. And he said, Mike, you know, I got something to talk to you about. I'm like, what? He said, well, you know what? The name of the show is going to be Losers. I'm like, my man, no. That's perfect. Because you don't get to be a winner unless you experience loss.
Right.
That's how I, like, you know, process it. Yeah.
And for those who haven't seen your episode yet, I mean, you were the heavyweight champion of the world, and you kind of hated boxing always. I mean, I'm watching it last night. I'm trying to think, did you ever actually enjoy being in the ring?
Hell no, man.
No?
I mean, like, you know, who likes getting hit? Like, you know, I mean, I liked winning.
Okay.
And you know what was really special about my amateur career? You know, I was a pro, and I was... semi-successful, but, like, you know, the amateur career was really sweet to me because I would meet these great guys from across the country. We would travel, like, you know, across the world and, like, bond and fight the Russians or the Swedes or the, you know, the Koreans, and we would bond. And that was special to me. Like, you know, I'm a high school dropout. So traveling and, like, you know, experiencing different cultures, that's my, you know, education. And that grew me up. So I appreciated, like, you know, the amateur experience. But that, you know, I wasn't particularly that fond of being a pro. But the reason why I turned pro, well, the reason why, like, you know, I think I was so successful, quote unquote, was because I had something to prove. I got knocked out my first pro fight.
Right.
You know, and I was under the instruction of one of the best trainers in the history of the sport, Emmanuel Stewart. I got dumped. You know, so you have to, like, you know, make up for that. I did, I thought.
You said you didn't love it. I mean, you loved it as an amateur, not when you turned pro. I mean, I've heard, you know, speaking to a lot of former boxers over the years, they talked about, you know, the camaraderie, the work, you know, and everything like that to get yourself prepared to go into a ring, whether it be mentally and obviously the physical road work, the physical work, whether it be on the road, in the ring, and everything like that, going to camp. Did you enjoy that? I mean, that aspect of it, the training aspect of it?
As professional?
Yeah, as a professional.
Emphatically, no.
No, really?
No.
Because we've had you know, we've had a couple boxers in here. They used to talk about the fact of they didn't miss the fight so much, but they missed
the camaraderie.
The camaraderie, getting
I get that.
In the, yeah, getting in the ring, but also the work to get themselves prepared to get into the ring.
You know what? When I was maybe like 18, 19 years old, I was sponsored by Shelly Finkel.
Okay,
right, sweet guy. I love Shelly, and you know. Part of his thing was to, like, you know, fly me down to where these guys were training. Evander Holyfield, Pernell Whitaker, and I was part of that camp. And as an amateur, I was sparred with a guy named Evander Holyfield. And I don't win 5 national championships without Holyfield continuously kicking my behind. On, like, if we sparred, like, 10 times, he's eaten me up, like, 7 times.
7
8 times. Oh, 9 times. You know, But interestingly enough, when I got knocked out in my first pro fight, I was called by the Duvas to be his sparring partner for his first fight or second fight against Larry Holmes, right? And because I like, you know, have a similar style to Larry,
right?
I'm not Larry Holmes, but like, you know, I have a, like, you know, similar style jab wise. So they flew me in, and you know, I had something to prove. So I had, like, you know, a quote unquote chip on my shoulder, you know. And I did so well against him. One day I walked into the hotel, it was a weekend, and Georgie Benton sees me and waves me over to him. And he says, he would call me Baby Cakes. He said, he would say, God damn, Baby Cakes. When you spar with Evander, I can't tell who the champion is. Now, when that guy puts a stamp on you like that,
yeah,
that's putting a stamp on you.
Right.
I'm like, okay. And I believed it. Okay,
yeah,
because like Georgie Benton, like, he doesn't mince words, man. If he doesn't like you, if he doesn't think you're talented, doesn't give you anything. And he gave me that.
That's great,
dude. That's like an Academy Award. Well, not really, but like, you know, it's yeah, like, you know, it's, you know, it's big though. It's epic,
right?
You know.
Well, that's building you up, and even though, as you mentioned, even though Michael, at the time, you knew when you stepped in the ring that Holyfield was better than you in those sparring sessions.
Oh no.
No?
No. I never felt that way.
You never felt that way?
No, but well, like, you know, I felt that way after.
After.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
That makes sense, right?
That does make sense, yeah.
So as I'm watching the show, you're talking, going through a very difficult relationship with your dad, mm-hmm, and your difficult relationship with boxing and mm-hmm, fighting amateur and pro, and I'm almost expecting you to be completely done with the sport and move on and not even touch it. But I mean, it's still central in your life.
You know, the sport resonates with me and other people. I mean, it's you know, my education is essentially in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And I write about it from time to time. I played boxers. I relate to it.
You were Sonny Liston in Ali?
That's right. In okay. Ali, yeah. And you know, it courses through my veins. I can't help it. You know, I'm okay with being in conflict with it now. You know, I'm okay with the conflict. You know, because now I can use it.
Right.
It's valuable. It mm-hmm serves me, as opposed to me sort of like it's serving me.
Right.
That makes sense.
That does make sense.
You know.
What about Andrew hit upon it? What about you know, your relationship with your father? You guys settled in Queens, right?
Mm-hmm. Cambria Heights,
right? Your your cousin Rudolph was a professional fighter, right?
This guy knows his stuff, man.
He fought against Sugar Ray Robinson, right?
Sugar Ray's second to last fight,
right? So
when did it take place?
I don't remember that.
See, no, I don't know either. I have no idea. I don't know.
you got me, Michael. You got me. But tell us a little bit about, you know, Andrew hit upon. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with your dad, you know, early on, and certainly, you know, your cousin, what he did as a pro fighter, and
yeah,
and the boxing gloves with Sugar Ray.
Wow, man, wow. You guys do some fantastic research. I'm impressed. You guys like CIA cops, man. Yeah, the first pair of boxing gloves I ever got was from Rudolph. And apparently, they were the gloves that he fought Ray Robinson with. Apparently. Right. And what did I do with them? I did with every blue-blood Jamaican West Indian American kid would do. I turned the stuffing into like a bet for my G.I. Joe. And my father went ballistic. This man, like, you know, went, I'm like, dude, I'm 10.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not thinking about right. Sugar Ray Robinson could be anyway. You don't have to think about
right.
that.
But
right.
Like, you know, so, yeah. But the most interesting thing about Rudolph, he passed away, I think, a couple years ago. And, you know, he had damage.
Okay.
Right? And I recognized that when I was younger. Okay. I didn't know what it was, though. I didn't know how to define it, you know. And the interesting thing about my father, you know, my father's an interesting dude, man. He's a gregarious. He's charming. He has, like, you know, like an epic temper, you know. And from time to time, he would always laugh at my... At Rudolph, because he was damaged, and he would, like, you know, have this, like he would walk funny, he would talk funny, he would slur his words, and he was hard to understand. My father would, like, laugh at him behind his back.
Really?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm like, wow.
And how did you take that?
Well,
how did you take that then? How do you take that now?
Well, it's sad that this guy, like, you know, would bring his cousin over to the house and then, like, you know, ridicule him. You know, then it was confusing.
Right.
Because here's a guy who's older, my father's first cousin, who gave me boxing gloves, who encouraged me to box, you know, said I had some gift or talent, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you know, when he's, like, speaking after a couple of drinks, he's slurring his words and my father's laughing at him. I didn't get it. It was confusing.
Right.
You know, but, like, you know, I also saw a part of human beings. And my father, like, you know, I mean, human beings can be vicious as hell, man.
They can.
You know, and I saw that very early. You know, man.
Your boxing career ended.
Mm-hmm.
You got knocked out and found out you had this, I don't know what the right word for it was, but you almost died.
Yeah.
Are you okay now, or is this something you still have to worry about in your
How do
life?
I look, my friend?
You look great.
No.
You look rested off that red eye.
Right, exactly. No, you know what, guys? I'm lucky. You know, I don't know, God or whatever. Like, you know, I'm lucky, man. After the Herbie Hyde fight, 96 hours in a coma. You know, I was told, you know what, man, you can't fight again. And, like, I thought that boxing was all I knew, but it wasn't, you know, knock on plasterboard, like, you know. But it was hard for me to find, like, you know, my place post-boxing, because, once again, boxers think that, like, you know, I thought that boxing defined me. That was the end all be all, you know. Although, like, you know, I was in conflict with it, you know, I thought it was. And, I got lucky. I started writing. I got hired by Burt Sugar, and I've been lucky. And I didn't ask you a question, did I?
Well, you did.
But you're you're fine. Everything's
no, oh, yeah, no. You know
just
what,
can't
man?
Get punched in the forehead.
Oh no, I don't think anybody should.
Yeah,
I mean, like, look, if you're getting like $85 trillion, get punched in the head.
Right.
You'll be all right.
But yeah, right. You'll be able to do it. But yeah. you're still a fan. We were talking about during the course of the break. I mean, yeah. I'm a boxing fan, Andrew. I mean, we're boxing fans. Maybe the sport isn't where it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago, Michael. But, but you know, you're going to be at the Garden tomorrow night for the championship fight, the pay-per-view event. I mean, and you know, you're still a fan of the sport, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I cannot be. You know, even when, like, I get phone calls from people or, you know, text from people, Mike, watch the fight. I'm like, my man, check this out. I'm watching the fight already.
Yeah.
You don't tell me to watch the fight. I'm there.
You're locked in, right?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, you know, some of the guys that, like, Mark Breland trains Deontay Wilder.
Right.
Mark is a dear friend of mine.
Right.
So, like, I watch it for the interest of what's going to happen and to support Mark. You know, but, I mean, this thing is in my blood, man. Like, you know, it's although I'm in conflict with it, it's like, you know, I'm in conflict with my ex-wife, but I still like it or have a passion for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, you've worked on a lot of movies. You've been in movies, like you said, but you've coached actors to be in boxing movies. Is there an actually legit boxer among actors that you've worked with, or are they just all actors
pretending to get me in trouble? You know? Man. You're trying to get me banned from Hollywood, bro. Come on, bro. I'm not that stupid. Come on, bro.
No. Positive.
Right. No.
Right. Who's the most non-athletic actor you've ever worked with, Mike?
Oh, dude, really? Wait. Let me process that question. Right. No. Will Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah. He nailed Muhammad.
Yeah.
He nailed it, man. And he legitimately could fight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you enjoy acting?
There is an acting coach in LA, Milton Katselis, right? And he has this quote, rehearsal with an actor who knows how to act is better than sex. I agree with that. Acting, like on stage and doing rehearsing a scene in a workshop, like nailing a scene, there's nothing like that.
Nothing like
so, it. So yeah, I love it. Outside of my son, there's nothing more I love more than it.
Nothing more.
Nothing more.
You mentioned, when, and certainly, you had a fascinating life for 54 years of age. Certainly, you've done a lot of different.
Hey, why is it 54?
No. But you don't look 54. You look about 40 years old. You look great, Michael.
Thank
but,
you.
In terms of what you learned in life, your relationship with your son, the trickle-down effect, what's the message? What do you take from your life experiences that you want to pass along to your son?
That's a great question. That's a beautiful question, actually. What I learned from my father, and I empathize with my father because, his life wasn't the life of Riley. He had a horrible childhood with his father. I get it. I get it now. The most valuable lesson that I learned was how not to treat my son. How not to try to dominate him. How not to push him into something that he doesn't want to be. How not to even force a conversation with him.
Right.
If you don't want to talk to me, go, okay, great. I get it, man. I'm here when you need me.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
We got Michael Benton studio. Can you hang out for another segment?
Of course.
All right. There we go. New docuseries out. Loser on Netflix. We'll come back. You got Michael Benton studio, Bogish and Malusis on this Friday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes can save 15% or more on car insurance. Bogish and Malusis with you. Our pleasure being joined here by Michael Benton, studio actor, former boxer. New docuseries out on Netflix, Loser. Check it out. And Michael's a part of that. I was asking you during the course of the break, Michael, and relay the message to our audience is, Andrew and I watched it, right? Our, guys behind the glass watched it. Did you watch it? What was, your part of this series? What was your take when you watched yourself on film? Because you've seen it before, you're an actor. But I'm talking about this is different. This is talking about your life.
Yeah.
This is real.
Yeah.
You're not playing a role. How difficult was it watching you on film?
My overall feeling was one of satisfaction.
Okay.
Okay, great. This is it.
Okay.
Everyone gets it. And the person who I really wanted to get it was my father.
Right.
But I don't think he's in a place emotionally or even psychologically where he can embrace that. And I get it. That's on him.
The way it is.
Yeah,
right.
sure. And I empathize with that. Still.
Right.
I came away thinking, man, this is let me tell you a story. Wow. I was in Atlanta. And I went. I was invited to the set of Bad Boys 3.
Okay.
With Will Smith.
Yeah. Nice.
And Martin Lawrence, man, and I saw Will, right? And he stopped. He stopped shooting. And he came up and hugged me. And he said, Michael, he didn't curse.
Right.
I cursed.
Right.
He said, Michael, I'm paraphrasing. What you said was like Jesus being hung up on the cross and confessing.
Wow.
I mean, I'm like, Will, I'm not Jesus, dude. No. I'm not saying that, but like, you know, like your
impactful
confession. Yeah. I'm like, wow. I started crying, man.
Yeah. I could imagine. Like,
wow, man.
Right. Well, to have that to impact people like that, Michael, with your message and your story.
Yeah.
You know, that would bring tears to anybody that's got any kind of an emotional connection in their body. Yeah. That's going to bring tears to their eyes because you're affecting people.
Yeah, yeah.
In a positive way.
No, yeah. And, you know, I'm aware of that. But, like, you know, we've been getting, like, tons of messages from people from all over the world. And, like, you know, there's a responsibility that comes with that. It's a responsibility.
Yeah.
And I get it. I'm open for it.
Right.
You know, so it's beautiful.
So all the stuff you're doing now, all this creative stuff, were these things that you always wanted to do and had to kind of keep down inside because your dad was putting you in the ring and you were boxing, or is this all stuff you discovered post-fighting?
Good question. I think the things that are coming out now were always there. I just didn't have a platform, quote-unquote, to exercise it. You know, and I found writing first. I started writing because you know, I was training this fighter for Stan Hoffman, my last manager, and you know, I wasn't fulfilled. I didn't feel fulfilled. So we're over in Holland, and a British reporter comes to cover me, like one of those, like, you know, what are they doing now stories, right? So I walk into this restaurant, and he says to me, "Mike, you're not happy, are you?" I'm like, "No, I'm not." "So what do you want to do?" "What you do?" "Start writing then." So I called Michael Katz and I said, "Mike, like, you know, I really want to start writing. You know, assign me something." And he assigned me to go down to, I was living in the Poconos then. And Mark Breland and Emmanuel Stewart was training not too far away from my house in the Poconos. I drove down there, interviewed Mark and Emmanuel about Mark's comeback fight after he lost to,
I forget.
Look at Mark,
Marlon
not
Stalin.
Me.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And interviewed Mark, and like Mark, my cats ran the piece, and nice stuff, you know. And a few weeks later, I ran into Burt Sugar, who read the piece, and Burt Sugar hired me to write in his magazine, Burt Sugar's Fight Game.
That's great.
And the article that I wrote about getting knocked out, Anatomy of a Knockout, that got seen by Ron Shelton, you know, the Hollywood director.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he called me up and said, "Man, if you look here, if you can, like, you know, act like you're right, come out to LA, I'll get you a gig," something like that.
It's amazing, the connection.
And he plugged me in, you know. Well, actually, a producer named Fred Berner plugged me in. I was training Fred's son.
Okay.
Who was 12 years old at the time. And he knew Ron. Ron and Fred had made the film together. I forget the name of the film. And... I mean, it's all about allies, man.
Yeah, that's it.
But it also started with you saying, "I want to write."
Yeah.
And doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to be at Gleason's Gym in Brooklyn tomorrow morning, correct?
Yes, sir.
7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Absolutely. You can get tickets and more. Hop on Michael's Twitter, at Michael Bent, or I am Michael Bent. Two ways you can go about doing that. Two T's at the end. Tell us a little bit about, Michael, the workout tomorrow morning at Gleason's, a world-famous gym in Brooklyn.
Yes, it is. Bruce Silverglade was nice enough to invite us down to teach. You flubbed that line, Michael. Cut. Bruce was kind enough to invite us down to teach some clinics and some seminars, half-hour seminars, hour-and-a-half seminars, boxing, the headspace of a boxer, exercise that boxers do to, like, you know, tone the body and get the body ready to, like, you know, not get hit.
Yeah.
Or get hit.
Right.
Right.
Which is important.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Not get hit and prepare yourself, your body, to get hit.
There
because at some point in time, you will get hit.
Well, if you're good. Not if you're bad.
That's it. 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, if you're in the Tri-State area, Gleason's Gym, world-famous Gleason's Gym, Brooklyn, New York. Tickets Tickets and more info available. Hop on Michael's Twitter account at Michael Bent, MichaelBent, or I am Michael Bent. Docuseries Loser, fantastic. Michael, we enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the time this morning. Andrew and I, our
Thank
pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.